Bible tonight to Act Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. We've been in and out of the book Ephesians quite a bit over the last year, and we'll continue on going in and out, but we've been talking a lot about the church in the last few months and how to behave in church and how to act in church, and Sunday school and our Sunday school lessons about striving together in other areas. And in Ephesians chapter number 4, there is a interesting passages of scripture in verses 11 through 16 talking about being a mature believer. And the title of this evening's message is Acting Like a Mature Believer. In this passage of scripture, we discover not only God wants us to grow toward maturity, but also God intends to use that maturity in each other's lives. Something that we as a church family, as a church body, is something we should be able to affect and encourage each other along the way and along for the other people's growth. Now, when you think about it, it's pretty easy to discern between a boy and a full-grown man, or a girl and a full-grown lady. Many times you can just look at them because of their height, not always, but because of their height and because of their weight or a test of strength. You can very quickly see, okay, that's not a full-grown boy, and then that's a full-grown man. Now, I know sometimes that's not always the case. Sometimes people look older than what they really are, and sometimes people look younger than what they are. But for the most part, you can tell the difference between a Joseph Ackley and a Todd Ackley. You know, they're one's a boy and one's a full-grown man. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, just as you can see there's signs that would represent a young person or a child versus an adult, there's also signs that show you the difference between an immature Christian and a mature Christian. And that's what this passage of Scripture is talking about tonight, is people who act like an immature believer to those in comparison to those that act like a mature believer. And there's some tell signs in this, but there's some important truths that are found in the Scriptures. So tonight I'd like to look at this for a little while and try to understand what the word perfect means in the Bible. And it's a term for maturity. It's not talking about without flaw like we would use it today, but instead it's speaking of being fully developed, complete, full grown, or mature. And when it uses the verses in 12 and 13 about the word perfect, it's using it from that understanding. They are developed in their faith. And we are always continuing to be want to continue in our faith. The Bible says to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's always a continual growth, but you're going to come to a spot that you're going to recognize how people respond to things sometimes that are mature believers. I was doing some studying, some reading. There's some different ways that you can tell a mature believer. One of those things is correction. You go through the book of Proverbs, a person who is wise takes the instruction and takes the correction so much better than a person who is foolish. It talks about how you can put stripes in a fool and they don't get it, but you know, if you just say something to a wise person, they understand it. So the way they take correction, how they respond to being wronged, that's not only how they respond to correction, but also how they respond when somebody does something bad to them. There's a difference between an immature and a mature believer that can be expressed and show. You can listen to someone talk sometimes, and you can say, boy, that person doesn't sound very, very mature. And especially when you deal with kids and the teenagers and even sometimes adults, you see the way some people act, and you think in your mind, they just need to grow up. You ever thought that? You ever listened to somebody talk? And, you know, I know we have. And once again, nothing wrong with joking around and having a good time. But there are times when some people just miss the boat on growing up and being mature in certain situations and places. Just as much as it is in the physical world, it's also in the spiritual world. There are people who are very, have stunted their growth because of the fact that, because of sin. And we that's not the way the Bible wants it to be. So let's jump in here in Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 11 through 16. We're going to talk about acting like mature believers. And as a church, we want a church full of mature believers. We don't want a church full of immature believers. And always there's going to be different levels. There's people who just recently saved, people who are being discipled, people who have grown in the Lord already, and there's people who are discerning and people who are wise. There's all types of things, but what the striving goal we should have as a church is to be a church of mature believers. I'm not talking about old. You say, Pastor, we got this mature thing covered. We got a lot of older people in our church. That's not what it's talking about there. I've seen older Christians, age-wise, that are very immature at times. And I've even seen in the past younger Christians that are younger age-wise but act very mature for their age, because it's depending upon how we rely upon the Holy Spirit of God. So are we acting as a child or are we acting as an adult? Let's jump in here in our study in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. There's four different specific groups there. It's not the purpose of the message, so we're not going to break all of them down, but there's four different classes of people that is given to the church here. They are given as gifts to the church. You know, the apostles, they had a message. The evangelist gives the idea of someone who travels with the word of God. And then you got pastors and teachers, and you got prophets. That's not someone who's going to, back in the Old Testament, someone who was prophesying what's going to happen in the future, but is speaking now of someone who is forthtelling about the truths that already been revealed, and they're forthtelling those truths. So there's four different things, and this has been given. It says, and he gave. It's talking about a gift. It's been given to the church. And what's the purpose of these four different groups of people? Now, there's all types of gifts, but he specifically mentions these four for this reason, for the perfecting of the saints. So the reason why they've been given is the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers that are grouped together because of the distinguishing parts there, I think, of the pastor's role of preaching and teaching and administration. It's all worked together. But these offices have been given for the perfecting of the saints. It means that way we can mature as a believer. They've been given there not to break down, not to cut up on, but they've been given to the church for a purpose and a reason. Now, are all pastors and all evangelists perfect? No. There's some out there that call themselves pastors or missionaries or evangelists that are heretics. And so we remember that, but this group, this body was given to the church, and what's the purpose of this group? Is this purpose of the group to just be there at the funerals? I think they should be. Be there at the bedside? I think they should be. Are they there just to be friends? I think they should be there to be an encouragement and a blessing and a hope. But what is the purpose of the pastor and these other? This is someone who's supposed to help us mature in our faith. And they do that through preaching and teaching and forthtelling and carrying the gospel to different places for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there's three different things there. It's the perfecting of the saints, the maturing, for the work of the ministry, and also that word edifying means to build up. Verse number 14, and actually, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Once again, this is talking about a mature believer, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, they're trying to get them to where there's two signs there, the unity of the faith working together, but also to the where they come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, when they become actually like Christ. It is the pastor's responsibility and these other offices' responsibility to help someone try to get to be Christ-like. Sometimes it's, and I'm not a very confrontational person. I probably should be better at that in some areas, in some ways. But it's the role and responsibility of a pastor to try to help a person to grow to become more like Jesus Christ. When he preaches, when he teaches, by his example, all those different things are things that are trying to help people see what Christ is supposed to look like. And also, you know, this is what the offices have been given to. Let's keep on going. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, talking about being immature, that we don't act like kids. And, you know, there's many things that give the description of those that act immature. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and uncunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. So verse 14, you see some different things that talks about a person that's immature. Verse 15 gives marks of maturity. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom, and we're not going to dive too much into verse 16 because there's a lot there and it's not the entire part of the message, but we'll come back to it, I'm sure, at some point in time in our study in Ephesians. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now, this is talking about the church family and the local body of group of believers joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's talking about how the mature believers and those that work together and the increase of the body and unto the edifying of itself in love, how we're supposed to encourage and lift each other and build each other up in the working together. But the only way we can do that is if we are mature believers. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God to help us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you give me the words that need to be spoken. And Lord, I pray they fall on good ground, good ears. I pray that it's not something where they're just left there and just trodden over as they walk out. But each of us have a desire to be a mature believer, but also to recognize immaturity. Sometimes we see immaturity and we allow that to be the determining factor in our lives and determining factor in decisions. But if someone is acting immature and someone is not acting in the fullness of Christ, we need to recognize that and realize they need to be prayed for, but also we don't turn to them and when it comes to making wise decisions. Lord, help us tonight. Help us leave this place saying, I want to be a mature believer. I want to be a help in this church. I want to be something that's going to help build this church up and the edifying of itself in love. And I don't want to be something that is going to tear things down, but instead something that lifts things up. And I have a desire to be like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's a couple things I want you to focus on tonight. First of all is the motivators toward maturity. The motivators. There's different things that motivate us. I don't know about you, there's different things that motivate me when it comes to certain things. You know, if I'm motivated to get up in the morning. Why am I motivated to get in the morning? Because I want to spend some time alone with the Lord. That's my motivation. I want to make sure I put enough time there. And sometimes if I'm motivated to maybe lose some weight and you take certain things away, you maybe so much sugar or maybe so many carbs or however people like to diet, and you're motivated. What motivates you is maybe when you see the scale on what it says, something you don't want it to say, or when your doctor calls you obese. You know, that's my doctor one time called me obese, and I says, come on, doc, I need to lose some weight, but obese is something. He says, that's what I see. And I says, and then I went to a new doctor. He didn't call me obese. But no, I stayed with the same doctor because it was something that needed to be heard. He says, no, maybe you're not obese, but if you don't change your habits, you're going to be, there's something wrong there. And that was a motivating thing. And here, when we talk about being a mature believer, there is some different things that should motivate us. The first thing I want you to think about is in verse number 7. We didn't read it, but it's something that we're going to read right now. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So the first thing I want you to think about is a motivator toward being mature. The maturity is we have been given spiritual grace. We've been given spiritual grace. Now, the grace of God should motivate us to be matured. You say, why? Well, it's the grace of God that leads us into salvation. Now, that is one thing. When it talks about grace, it involves the work within us, what God has done within us. After we receive his initial grace and salvation, we also have a grace of God that is growing and becomes a part of us. And it's an ongoing growth. 2 Peter puts it this way, but grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So we understood that for we are saved by grace, and we understand that for saved by faith through grace, and we get that, and we see that, and that helps us understand. But as we grow closer to the Lord, and as we go farther and farther in his journey of becoming more and more mature, we understand God's unmerited favor in our lives. We see things that we don't really deserve, like the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, and we become a better understanding of the grace of God. And as we understand the grace of God and we see the grace of God, it should motivate us to say, you know what, I don't want to be some type of immature believer that is not helping the church and harming the church. Instead, I want to be a mature believer because of what God's grace has done for me. I see God's grace, and now as I understand God's grace, I want that to be a motivating factor of how I continue. I want to grow in that grace, and I want to grow in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to understand it greater and better. Because of the grace of God and all he's done for me, I want to become like him, and I want to help build this church. See, I believe the grace of God is a very great motivating factor. Sometimes people do something in our lives, and it motivates us to live a better life. When the doctor told me I needed to lose weight, that motivated me. I understood the doctor was looking out for my best interest, and it motivates a person to lose some weight. Just like when we see the grace of God in our lives, it motivates us. What does it motivate us to do? I don't want to harm the church of Christ. It's something that God instituted. Christ died for it. He shed his blood. He loves the church. He loves the local independent body of believers that is here. And because of that grace he has demonstrated to me makes me motivated to be mature. I want to be mature because of the grace of God. Also, not just because of the grace of God, but we see that another motivating factor is the spiritual gifts that he gives us. Look what it says in verse number 11. He said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, what the Bible is speaking of here is not a spiritual gift like we think of, okay, he has the gift of prophecy, they had the gift of tongues like back in the New Testament times. He's speaking of a different type of gift that's been given to the church. It's the work and the ministry of the offices of some of the offices of the church that's supposed to edify and build up the body of Christ. Look what it says in verse number 12. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we see here that God's given us these offices for a purpose and for a reason. Paul speaks about an investment here that a godly leader can have in a person's life. He says, God says, I've given you these different offices for them to invest in you to help you grow spiritually and help you mature as a believer. You say, well, Pastor, my gift wasn't very good, or I don't like these gifts. These aren't things that are helping me. Well, there's an issue or a problem here because that's the immaturity many times is explained. Take your Bible to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 4. In Colossians chapter number 4, there is an example of a person that is given to the church of Colossae, and the example is given here in Colossians chapter number 4. It's two books over on to your right. Colossians chapter number 4, and it's a man named Epaphras. And I love the description that's given here of Epaphras. Paul is writing to this church of Colossae, and he says in chapter 4, verse number 12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect. We see that word again, that you're going to be mature and complete in the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. So what he's saying here is that there's been spiritual gifts that have been given to the church. Yes, we understand the individual gifts that have been given. We understand the gifts that it talks about in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We've looked at those before. But this is a type of thing that he gave to the church, these offices, for the purpose of helping mature the believer. And that's what he's saying about Epaphras there in Colossae. He was fervent about it. He had a desire. He prayed earnestly that they would be perfect and mature as a believer and standing in the will of Christ. What a wonderful, encouraging way is that's a motivating factor. First of all, you see the grace of God. Then you see the gifts of God. God's given us these gifts to help us to mature. So if we're thinking about a motivating factor, yes, we understand the grace of God. We see the gift that God's given us, but also look at the goal. Look at the goal that's found in verse number 12. Why did all this happen? Why does he give us grace? Why does he give these gifts? It's for three different reasons you see here. It's for the, verse number 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. God wants you to mature. God doesn't want you to live in this immature world, selfish, all about me, spoiled idea. He doesn't want that. That's not his desire. He wants us to be mature. It says for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, the completing of the saints. And then it says the work of the ministry. So it's not just about the perfecting of the saints. It's talking about accomplishing something in the work of the ministry. And that's what we're talking about here in our church. There is a greater cause for the cause of Christ that's greater than any of us. The church of the living God is something that is very valuable and very important. What we do here will last for eternity. I understand that you can do that work inside your family. You can see people saved. But God institutes a local church. Things go through the local church. The church is made up of great families. And because of that, it's built into being a family. And he's saying, look, I want this to happen so we can mature and perfect them for the work of the ministry. It should be a mature believer. It should be a mature believer that's working in the ministry. Now, does that mean there's certain people that shouldn't work? Truth is, there are times in our lives when there's certain people who shouldn't be serving because they're acting immature. Now, unfortunately, sometimes, a leader is not perfect, and sometimes they make a mistake, and I've been made many mistakes before in my life. I like to say stupid things sometimes, and I have to ask for forgiveness. And sometimes I'm harsh, sometimes I'm silly, and sometimes I have to tell people I'm sorry. But it's the idea here that the work of the ministry is supposed to be done by mature believers. So if you see the motivating factor that it's the grace of God, the gifts of God, and here's the goal. This is what it's supposed to look like. I'm supposed to be maturing. I'm supposed to be working in the ministry because the ministry is the cause of Christ, is what God has given us here. I know our relationship with God is first, and I know our relationship with our family is second, and I believe our ministry to the Lord is third on the tier of things to do, but they work hand in hand and all together. Because if I'm serving the Lord and I love the Lord, then I'm going to want to take my family and take care of my family, and then as a family, I'm going to work in the ministry because I'm a mature believer. As our church here, some people think that we're pharisaical, or people think we're legalistic just because we have standards when it comes to serving in a church, because we want it to be a representation. We're hoping and expecting that mature believers are going to be the people that are representing the church, whether it's through the choir or through teaching or on the bus or whatever it is, that they're mature believers that are working in the ministry. And then look at the next phrase, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, am I saying that all leaders are mature? They're not. Am I saying that I'm mature all the time in the faith? I'm not. But these are the goals that we're working towards, and we see what the motivating factors are. We see the gifts that God has given us. We see the grace that God has given us. But we also see the spiritual goal that's here. And it's the fulfillment of these goals hinge on the maturing of the saints. That's what it begins. It talks about, first, it's the maturing of the believers, the perfecting of the saints, and then it continues in the work of the ministry, and then it begins as the mature believer is working in the ministry, it's going to uplift the rest of the church. It's going to edify the rest of the church. You go back over here, and you got an immature believer that's in a leadership role, and they try to do the work of the ministry. You know what's going to happen? It's not going to edify the church. It's going to tear the church down. So that's why it's more important than our own feelings and how we desire that we learn to grow up in the faith and become mature in our beliefs, so that way we can do the work of the ministry and we can be an edifying and a lifting up of the church family, because that's what he's writing this to. Hey, look, we've given you grace. There's been gifts here. This is the goal, is to edify the church, to lift the church up, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. That, you know, if he is high and he is lifted up, he's going to draw all men to him. But how do we do that in our church? Is by us growing and us learning and us saying, hey, my feelings are not as important as me growing in my faith and growing in my grace so I can minister, so I can serve. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want to serve. I don't care about those things. Then the maturity isn't there. It's not growing. It's that you would be considered immature, that you're not perfecting in the faith and the idea that you're growing in your grace and knowledge. You say, Pastor, guess because I don't serve at the church, does that mean that I'm wrong? No, we serve in different ways. We pray, we give. There's different facets. Just because you might not do something outwardly, you should follow the Lord's leading and guidance in that. But you should be actively involved in parts of this church by praying for your church, by giving to your church, by being a soul winner and a witness, by being faithful. These are all things that shows marks of maturity. But there is not a mark of maturity for a person that's torn and tossed to and fro. Let's keep on going here. So the second thing is, not only do we see the motivators of maturity, but look at the measure of maturity, the measure of maturity. Okay, so you think about this. If we were going to measure our maturity, who would we measure it to? Now, you can do one thing. You can measure it according to somebody who's out of church who maybe does things that we think are horrible, but they still confess to be a Christian. Maybe they smoke, or maybe they've never been to church. All they do is talk bad. And you measure yourself up to that person, and you're thinking, man, I look pretty good. You know, I'm at church almost every single service, and I do this, I do that. Compared to that person, I'm doing really, really well. And then there's also the danger of God working in someone's heart and God working in someone's life, and you compare yourself to them, and then many times you can feel defeated. See, we don't compare ourselves to other people. The Bible specifically has a verse about that. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, "For we dare not make ourselves the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." So the scripture is giving here, it says, look, stop comparing yourself to that worldly church and say, you know what? We're doing so much better, we can act whatever way we want as long as we stay ahead of the worldly church. Or stop looking at the church that may be on fire and say, man, I'm discouraged because I'm not where that's at. No, no, no. The Bible says that we should not compare ourselves with other people. And I've seen the danger on both sides. I've had people look at me and say, hey, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You need to go talk to so-and-so. And when they become mature, then you can start worrying about me. But then I also had people come to me and say, well, I hear the stories about the missionaries, and I don't know why my kids are not turning out like that. And they compare them to that, and it's like, I can't serve anymore. I can't do it. I can't do anything right. Now, we don't compare to one another, but look what it says in verse 13. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, talking about mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's who we compare ourselves to, is Jesus Christ. Now you think about it. He gives two measuring sticks here inside this verse. The first one is there should be unity with the saints. There should be unity to save. And he begins with this, so we all come in unity of the faith. God wants us to function with unity. Carnal, immature Christians, like we see in the book of 1 Corinthians, they tend to create friction. They tend to complain. They tend to gossip. They complain to have bitterness. They become difficult to be a part of. And that's what we mentioned. A person that's immature and trying to do the work of the ministry, who doesn't put God first and puts himself first, is going to cause not edification. And I've seen that happen. I've seen people happen, whether it's the church I grew up in or even in this church, because of the fact that when they were doing ministry, they did it as an immature person, and it caused, instead of building up, it tore down. And that's what it's referring to here, is that there should be unity amongst the saints. Now, is everything going to be perfect? No. But with spiritual growing Christians, they're able to infuse the grace of God into a relationship in their lives, and they create unity. I see people who create unity and try to build the church and uplift the church and edify the church. And I see others who act immature and who not try to help, but instead they try to harm the church. They would never tell you they're doing that, but because of immaturity and because of complaining and because of gossiping and because of bitterness and not dealing with their own sin, they end up, instead of helping as a measuring mark of a unity, instead it's anything but unity with them. And then, and it says that in Philippians 1:27, we talked a lot about this verse, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's not about building a church for me. It's about building for the faith of the gospel. So there's two measuring steps. One, first thing, and he says here, it's not me, he says, till we all come in the unity of faith. They're talking about the unifying together as a group of believers for the faith. And then they continue on, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I love that. You know, stop comparing yourself to everybody else. How do you compare to Jesus Christ? That person said this, and that person did this. And I responded that way because it was their fault. Well, how would Jesus respond? It's not about how we responded or how we reacted, but no, it's how would have Christ responded? And you have so many different things when you consider Christ and consider the ways he reacted, the things he said about the Bible, the things he did when someone was mean to him. It's amazing if we compare ourselves to Christ, and we know we're never going to get there. We are never going to get there until we get to heaven, but we can get as close as we can to being Christ-like here on this earth. I think that's exactly what sanctification is. Sanctification begins over here. We're all newborn babes in Christ. We all are far away from being like Christ. And with sanctification, implication is I'm going to become as much like Jesus Christ as I can in this world till I get to heaven, because I know I'm going to be like him once I get to heaven. But you know what? While I'm here on this earth, I can try to get as close as I can. Romans 8:29 talks about being conformed into the image of his son. The Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, meaning God knew who was going to believe and who was going to accept. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what are we being conformed into? The measuring tool for a spiritual maturity is the person and character of Jesus Christ. How did he do? How did he respond? And you remember those bracelets. What would Jesus do? And so that's what our measuring stick is. We get over here. The motivating factor is the grace of God and the gifts of God and the goal where we want to be. The measuring stick is, am I unified in my faith in this group of body of believers for the cause of Christ and for the faith of the gospel? And am I becoming more like Jesus Christ? We're becoming like something. We're conformed into something. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can know the will of God, but you cannot let this world have a greater effect on you than what the scriptures do and what the preaching does and what God has instituted in your life to help you grow spiritually. And there are people who are conforming themselves, and they're allowing the world to conform them. And as the world conforms them, they begin to allow immaturity come into their lives. I'm sorry, we're not going to let immature Christians run our church. We're not. We're not going to let, many times people cater to young people, and I love our young people, but we're not going to let young people run our church. We're not going to let immature people run our church. We're not going to let them make decisions. Because why? Because they're not being conformed to the things of Christ. They're not being conformed to the things. Once again, there is people all the time that give suggestions, and there are people all the time that say, why don't we do this and why do we don't do that? But they don't show any spiritual interest in anything else. You can't see spirituality sometimes in their lives. And once again, we listen when somebody says something, and people give suggestions. I pray earnestly when someone says, I think the Lord would allow us to do this or do that. I get that. I understand that. But just because someone who is immature, and usually the immature one is a very loud person, is a person who that wants to get their point across, says, I don't understand why I can't do this or why I can do this, and I don't understand this or understand that. And they are immature in their faith, and they're trying to push it onto the church. But remember, when an immature person is doing the ministry of the work, they're no longer edifying, they're tearing down what has been built up. And I want to encourage you today, be that mature believer so you can be encouraged and work in the ministry and lift other people up. And what's the measuring stick? Do they look like Jesus Christ? Does their attitude show Jesus Christ? Because usually an immature person, they don't have the Christ attitude. They don't have a Christ-like attitude. They don't care about the things of God. They don't care. Well, they do. They'll say, well, what about this and what about that? And they compare themselves to other churches. Or they compare themselves to other people. Well, so-and-so, we're not supposed to compare. Remember that. Instead, we build upon what God has given us as a group of believers. Do not let the world mold you. What is molding you today in this world? The culture of this world presses you into a mold through media, through entertainment, through worldly influences. You know, if there's someone who is listening to the wrong type of music, who has the wrong type of character, who's watching the wrong type of things, who has the wrong type of friends, but they want to insert their opinion on how the church should be run, there's a problem with that. It shouldn't happen that way. It should be the mature believer that has been grown up in their faith that is encouraging their walk with Christ. Can we all be like that? We can be. But sometimes the people that are immature are the ones that try to push things. And what happens? He said, Pastor, you're preaching hard about somebody in specifically. I am not. I'm preaching what the Word of God talks about, because it's saying here, and I've seen it happen in so many churches, they cater to a person that is not spiritually minded, that do not have the right motivating factors, and then in the end, it doesn't lift up the church. It hurts the church. What are you allowing to mold you? Is it the Word of God? Is it the Spirit of God? Is it the praying of God? Is it encouragement from other believers? Those are what's going to mature you in your faith. The people that you are around are either going to lift you up or tear you down. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Whatever that is, he can show it to you. Last but not least, and we won't spend a lot of time here, but the marks of maturity. The marks of maturity. The marks of maturity. So we see first the motivators, then we see the measure. Here's the marks of maturity. Look what it says in verses 14 through 16. And you look here, these are the telling marks of immaturity. So you say, Pastor, okay, you're talking about immature, you're talking about mature. What am I? Well, let's look into the Word of God. Let's measure us up against Jesus Christ and be like, well, I got work to do. Yes, but here's some of the telling signs. Verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Talking about being unstable, unable to be devoted. They're tossed to and fro. And then it continues, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So there's three different things I see here. First thing is an unstable in devotion. A person is immature when they're unstable in their devotion to Jesus Christ, when they're undisciplined. Now, are we like that sometimes? Yes. Are all of us like that sometimes? Yes. When we can't be disciplined enough to read our Bible every day, that's a sign of immaturity. When we're not disciplined enough to pray each and every day in some form or some way, that's a sign of immaturity. That's something we should be working on. That should be a discipline we do every day. And the immature should not be doing the work in the ministry. Does that mean you should quit your job? No, that means you should get right with God so God can make you used in the work of the ministry so you can edify the church instead of harming the church. So being a person that is unstable in devotion. Immature Christians are easily blown off course. They're sidetracked from growth. They're tripped up in their forward process. This is not God's will. It is dangerous for one who is not striving together toward maturity. It's dangerous to have that person in a leadership role. If they're not striving to be a mature believer, then they could cause issues. Think about what the Bible says. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When a person is confusing, saying, well, you got to take this side and then take this side, they're unstable. They're double-minded. That's a mark of immaturity. We should know what the Bible says, and we should go forward with that. Also, unsure of doctrine. Look what it says in verse 14. They're tossed to and fro, meaning that they're not devoted, they're not disciplined. They're carried away by every wind of doctrine. And it says carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. They're unsure of doctrine. An immature Christian is someone who does not know their Bible. And don't get me wrong, if you're a new believer and you're learning in the grace of knowing and growing in the grace of knowledge of God, that's great. But are you growing? Don't be satisfied with just going through a discipleship course and clicking it off and saying, I don't need to grow anymore. We should be growing in our knowledge. We should be learning our doctrine. The Bible tells us, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So it wasn't just go get them saved, get them baptized, and then let them go. It says teaching them to observe. There are some churches out there that are out there for numbers, and they'll get thousands of people saved in one day or amongst the churches, but they never see them again ever in church. There's a problem with that. That's not fulfilling the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus knew new converts must be grounded in the teachings of the Word of God to inoculate them from false teachers who would wait to deceive them. Sometimes I see and hear people say, well, this preacher on TV, and I said, what preacher? And it's a charismatic. It's somebody in the prosperity movement. Some, they're reading things that are from different people that go against what the Bible teaches. And sometimes they hear different things, and they let them kind of conform them, and they're sent about by every wind of doctrine. Unable to discern is the third thing. They're unable to devotion, unable, unsure of doctrine, or unable to discern. And that's what it's talking about here, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Unable to discern. God wants his children to be able to discern between a truth and a lie, between right and wrong, between his way of thinking and this way this world's thinking. But the one who doesn't grow is unable to discern both good and evil. If you're not living for God, you're not going to be able to discern good versus evil like you should. This is a great verse in the book of Hebrews. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, talking about being mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, what is right and what is wrong? It's when you're a mature believer And that's what our goal should be. So when I'm in my Bible, I'm in the Word of God, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm not letting this world influence me, I'm not letting people who do not live for Christ make my decisions. Instead, I'm discerning between what is right and what is wrong. I'm not going to be immature, and I'm going to let God make me wise. Billy Sunday, when he got converted and joined the church, there was a man that put his arm around the young man's shoulder and says, "William, there are three simple rules I can give you, and if you hold to them, you will never write backslider after your name. Take 15 minutes each day to listen to God talking to you. Take 15 minutes each day to talk to God. Take 15 minutes each day to talk to others about God." And Billy Sunday was deeply impressed and determined to make these rules of his life. From that day on, throughout his life, he made it a rule to spend the first moments of his day alone with God and his word. Before he read a letter, before he looked at a paper, even read a telegram, he went first to the Bible so his first impression of the day might be what he directly got from God. I want to encourage you tonight is that we want to be mature believers. Verse 14 gives marks of an immature believer. Verses 15 and 16 gives marks of a mature believer. Look what it says here. A mature believer will be able to communicate that things that are meaningful. A mature believer will be able to communicate things that are meaningful. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. I like that. Speaking the truth in love. There are a lot of people who talk. There's a lot of people who talk in the name of Christ, but they don't do it in love. And that's what it's saying here. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. The Bible says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." One of the marks of a mature believer is someone who communicates meaningful things. Not just talk to hear themselves talk, but communicating things, not just giving your advice or your opinions, communicate meaningful things that are seasoned with salt, always accompanied with grace, that we may know how to answer every man. Next thing is not only communicating things that are meaningful, but a Christ-centered mindset. Keep on going in verse number 16. "For whom the whole world fitly joined together and compacted, that by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So that is a contribution to the members. I skipped over point number two underneath letter B. You're contributing to the members. And see that last phrase, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Now, I know some people, and I've heard people say, "Well, I'm teaching somebody something." Well, are you a mature believer? Are you doing it with grace? Are you seasoned with salt? Are you doing as it says, communicating good things and meaningful things? But I love the last one that's found at the end of verse number 15, which is the head, even Christ. It's talking about a Christ-centered mindset. It's all things which is the head. A mature Christian will put Christ at the center of their lives so that everything else revolves around him. He's not just at the top of the list, he's at the center of their lives. He's at the hub of the wheel, where the spokes of the life connect and extend. Jesus Christ touches and changes every part of our life. That's a mark of a mature believer. They say meaningful things. They are Christ-centered in their thoughts. Plus, they are an encouragement to their church family. I'll close with this. Sometimes a pastor doesn't have the easiest job. I know people think that all a pastor does is sit up in his office all day and don't do anything. I know that many people don't feel that way. Many people think there's lots of things that need to be done. But God gave these different offices for what? To help mature. So sometimes when a pastor has to say something, they're trying to help mature. That should be the desire there. Sometimes things need to be said. Sometimes things need to be corrected. Sometimes things need to be encouraged. And the preaching and teaching of God's word, it talks about be instant in season and out of season. But it also talks about rebuking. It talks about instructing. It talks about all those different things that is given in that office. And I don't think anybody at this church has ever been discouraging to me when I say things and things like that. But the reaction is important. Are you really, truly a mature believer today? You say, "Pastor, I listened to you preach and I compared myself to Christ and I decided I'm not going to teach my class anymore." You missed the whole point of the message. We need mature believers. We need people who are going to serve. But we don't need people who are going to be immature serving. We need people to get their hearts right, compare themselves to Christ and say, I know I got a long way to go. That's the first person in line for being a servant. Hey, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, and that's I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do. I know I falter. I know I fail. I know I do things wrong, but I want to have the goal of being a mature believer, and I see the measuring stick. I see that it means that I'm unified in the faith and that I am in the fullness of Christ, trying to be Christ-like with my actions, and when I fall short, I'm not going to give up and throw in the towel. Instead, I'm going to go back and say, that was immature. I shouldn't have done that. I want to do things that are going to help and they're going to edify and they're going to encourage. It's always going to my speak. It's going to be meaningful. It's going to be seasons of grace. I'm not going to have problems being devoted. I'm not going to be having problems with every wind of doctrine because I know my Bible. I know what it says. I'm not going to be causing issues and problems, but instead I'm going to do it for the ministry of the Bible and for the edifying of the other believers. Are we edifying people tonight? And I'm not talking about our own opinions. Well, I know what that person needs. Well, I know what's best. No. I'm talking about a person who is humble and mature on their face before God and say, God, I want to be like you. And as they minister, they lift up. But pride, God fights against the prideful. He resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. As we've been talking about the church and going through the different things of the church, we talk about relationships. We talk about things that harm churches, things that are good for churches. We talk about the church that almost died in Ephesians chapter, in Revelation chapter number 2. We've talked about a lot of different things. But I think we should strive together to be a church that's full of mature believers. Because as we minister, we'll lift each other up. Sometimes we want to just look at somebody and say, you need to grow up. And sometimes that's kind of the way we look at somebody and you see the way they're acting and, you know, many times they're adults and you're like, you don't want to be disrespectful. But you just really need to grow up sometimes is what needs to be said. Sometimes somebody needs to say that to me. Sometimes we need to say that to others. But we're talking about growing up in our faith, growing up in maturity of our faith. Telling jokes, joking around, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who is acting immature as a believer, trying to minister, thinking that they're edifying the church, but instead, they're harming the church. It's sad, but it's something we should work on. Do you have a desire to be a mature believer? I do. That's what he says, to the perfecting of the saints, to the ministry of the work, to the edifying of the believers. That's what I want to be. I want to be like Christ. I don't care what the rest of the world says. I don't want to be conformed into their image of what a pastor should be. I want to be conformed into the image of a son and let God take care of the rest. Let's go ahead and stand.